even though tornadoes regularly touch down here in the Midwest. The devastation they bring always comes as something of a surprise. Even though typhoons frequently afflict the Western Pacific, the recent typhoon that smashed across the Philippines and crashed into Vietnam seemed appalling. Perhaps our amazement comes because far too often we like to live in this passing world as if it were an eternal world. We prefer to ignore the stubborn fact that we exist in a reality that is always fragile and radically contingent, fashioned by forces entirely beyond our control. And this kind of spiritual blindness can allow us to live superficially, almost unconsciously, without any real purpose or meaningful direction. And yet, nature itself annually reminds us that life always has abrupt surprises, inevitable endings, and not just beginnings. The crops that were planted in the spring are now all harvested. The days grow shorter, and the nights grow longer. The cold of winter is fast approaching, and the world itself goes through a kind of death. We all need to remember the basic truth that it is not just the victims of tornadoes or typhoons who die, but also every one of us. All of us in this cathedral, everyone we know, from the youngest to the oldest, will one day certainly die. But this fact shouldn't depress us, but rather should enlighten us, liberate us, and ultimately guide us to live more self-aware, more conscious lives. The Church, in its ancient wisdom, reminds us, especially in this month of November, to savor our enjoyment of what is good and deepen our faith in those awesome realities that will never end. Our tradition also urges us to pray for the holy souls who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, and try to fill our own lives on this earth with those values that have eternal significance. At first glance, the gospel reading appointed for today seems somewhat a strange choice for the great solemnity of Christ the King. What in the world does royal kingship have to do with the horror of dying on a cross? We see Jesus abandoned by his disciples, rejected by his people, mocked by the mob, derided and insulted by the very priests who were anointed to serve at the altar of his Father's house. The only one who recognizes Christ's kingship was a condemned criminal. Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And from the cross, Jesus replies with regal, absolute authority over all life and death, Amen, amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Remember that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus makes the eternal power of God's great love present in our temporal world. Christ's self-giving on the cross manifests victory, not defeat. His dying was in reality a triumphant Passover from mortality to immortality. As today's second reading celebrates, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. By the blood of his cross, he made peace for all those on earth or in heaven. In Christ, the cross truly becomes the instrument by which God's great love and endless mercy was poured out upon the human race, which was once condemned to death, but is now destined to life everlasting. As the book of Revelation exalts, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and divinity, wisdom, strength, and honor. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Now, as Catholic Christians, we often signify this awesome mystery of our faith, the Lord's life-giving death, as we sign ourselves with the sign of the cross. This ritual may seem repetitious. It is so often repeated during our worship, our prayers, and our blessings. But for those who know Christ, in the sign of the cross, we lift high his cross, because the cross is our hope and our salvation. As St. Paul once taught, to those on the way to destruction, the message of the cross is foolishness. But we who are on the way to salvation see it as the proof of God's power. The sign of the cross, in one gesture, summarizes the faith of Christianity. So we trace it over our bodies, indicating the power of the cross of Christ now rules our lives. Because for believers, the cross is an overflowing source of grace from which we receive strength from weakness, glory from shame, life from death. The cross is a high and awesome pulpit where Christ, our prophet, teaches us the truth. The cross is the sacred altar of sacrifice, where Christ, our priest, pleads on our behalf. The Holy Cross is a glorious throne, where Christ, our sovereign King, begins his reign over a new heaven and a new earth. Christ, our King, is a conquering warrior. But unlike his great ancestor David, he had no need of the weapons of his enemies. But instead, he triumphs by using the invincible sword of his holy cross. Christ our King defeats death's ubiquitous violence. Christ our King brings death's apparent victory to nothing. Christ our King conquers death, taunts and reviles our ancient enemy death. Christ our King takes away death's sting. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? He has made all his enemies his footstool. The all-powerful love of Christ our King is the very death of death, giving us new and unending life through water and the Holy Spirit. So, though the mountains may fall and the hills turn to dust, when typhoons or tornadoes surprise us with their violence and death seems so strong, in confidence we serve Jesus Christ, our eternal King. We preach Christ and him crucified until he comes again in glory. For he has reconciled all things in himself, making peace through the blood of his cross. Christ our King is our victory over sin and death. Christ our King is the firstborn of the resurrection. Christ our King is endless day and eternal spring. And his most holy Eucharist is the bread of life. His one perfect sacrifice makes life present, preparing believers for life without end. as the Lord himself promised us. Here I stand, knocking at the door. If anyone hears me calling and opens the door, I will enter his house and have supper with him. I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne, as I myself won the victory and took my seat beside my Father on his throne. So all of us at this supper of the Lord, on this last Sunday of our liturgical year, on this solemnity of Christ the King, at this Mass, which solemnly concludes a special year of faith, let us gaze with faith upon the glorious cross of Christ our King, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Let us all believe. Let us worship. Let us serve. And let us adore.